Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening or watching live, it is the 9th of April at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening or watching an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you to the show. I want to let you know you can find me over in the chat room. You can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. That's number 12radio.com. Click on the chat button and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. And you'll see my banner there at the top of the page and you'll see people chatting there. And you're welcome to chime in. I have one eye on it. I also want to let you know that if you'd rather watch than listen, you can do that by heading over to my live stream, either on YouTube or on Facebook. That's Katie Weaver, Domestic Mystic. So, easy enough. How's it going? How was that eclipse for you? We were only 40% here. And we were really cloudy. We were actually out running errands, so I had thrown my eclipse glasses in the car just in case, and in case the sun parted, and it did. So I did get to get a pretty decent look at in the parking lot of a bunch of stores. but it wasn't nearly as impressive as last time because we were in full totality last time. We had the Ring of Fire here in 2017. So 40% was kind of like, all right, I saw it. But I know for people that were in totality, holy shit, amazing stuff. I had included in Luminous, but I'm going to share it with you guys here too, a picture that was taken with the Hubble telescope in full totality that is amazing. Look at that. Does that just blow your mind? All of those, I guess, rays, beams, what do we call those? Coming out the sides? I don't even know. I just thought that was very cool. I saw some really cool videos yesterday of people all over the world experiencing the eclipse in different ways. Just very cool stuff. So, but the lead up to the eclipse was really something else. Very anxious for a lot of people. Very uncomfy for a lot of people. And I think too, we had, you know, Mercury is in retrograde. And I think between those two, one thing I saw is it really pulled up a lot of old stuff for people. Grief and weirdness and anger and regret and guilt. It's kind of all coming up to the surface for people to have to deal with. So if you experience some stuff like that, you're definitely not alone because that was kind of the vibe. But at any rate, pretty amazing. We won't have another eclipse like that for, I think, 25 years. Yeah. So that will exceed some of our lifetimes, probably. Amazing. So anyway, I am glad that we're out of that vibe now, though. I think that it's time for us to move forward. I still think that we have some of that going in our, you know, some of that vibe going for us in the sense of the afterglow of the eclipse. I think this is still a really good opportunity for you to, for all of us, to work on changing things that we don't like. Whether that's in your outer world or your inner world or just a habit or whatever it is. If there's something that you just feel like you would like to have different in your world, that you would like to do differently, this is a really good energy to do that in. Yeah. Sid said it was the first time to actually see the eclipse through the magic glasses. I got so wrapped up that I totally forgot I was going to be partial, but it was very cool not to burn my eyes out. Yeah. Yeah, that's good too. Agree. Agree. Pamela said, I found it uncomfortable. Yes, had family stuff come up. Yeah. Yeah. Weird. Yeah, us too, actually, on my husband's side. Yeah, I know. Not a comfy one. Oh, I had a little tiny bit of show and tell. This is very minor. This is just a little dish that we made in the kiln from a sheet of stained glass, actually, but it's not perfect, but it's perfect enough for me. But the design, it's like a southwest pattern or design. I don't know if you can tell very much, but anyway, I thought it was kind of fun. And, you know, the stuff that's not perfect stays because I don't feel like it's something I can sell. And I love this on my desk. I just keep throwing trinkets or jewelry that I strip off because I'm really, unfortunately, very known for putting jewelry on in the morning. And it's not very long through the day when I can't take any more and I'm stripping it all off and leaving it on my desk. So now I have a jewelry bowl, I guess. But isn't that fun? Yeah, I kind of love it. It was a mold that we bought in Tucson while we were there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty, isn't it? I love that color a lot. Yeah, I love it. Well, we snuck off to Montana for the weekend to watch softball and had a great time hanging out with Mars and her peeps up there. And it was pretty wild because on Friday we drove up in the morning in beautiful weather. Beautiful, beautiful weather. Came home Sunday in a blizzard. Sorry. That was a really long drink. I had to double check that coffee. I thought it might be too hot. It's fine. Everything's fine. But anyway, yeah, it was snowing so hard and it was so warm that the snow was just slush on the roads and it was dragging cars around. It was scary for about 2 hours and then it straightened up and it was fine the rest of the way. But the funnest part, when you get down to near West Yellowstone, you drive along the side of Yellowstone Park, not like within the pay areas, but just on the very edge. And there's that road there tends to have bison sometimes wandering. Bison that get very far out of the park, unfortunately, will be shipped out or euthanized, which really sucks. But there's germ sharing between bison and elk that are really unfavorable to elk. And so to maintain the elk population, they have to protect them from the bison or buffalo population. It's a whole thing. But anyway, this is still a safe zone for them to wander out. And I've seen bison on this road before, but it was so funny because we were coming down the road and a big sign said, you know, watch for bison on road. And I was like, I told Scott, yeah, right. I haven't seen bison on this road in years. He said, they always say that to mess with me and nothing. I'm not kidding. 5 seconds later, we came up on a herd along the side of the road and I didn't get my camera out fast enough. So I was like, bison, right? We've seen him a million times, but I still get super excited every time. We came back over the next hill and traffic dead stop. Why? Because there's a herd of bison just wandering up the middle of the road. I got some great pictures of them. So I'll share. Yeah, this big dude just marching down the center of the road, giving no F's about anything. And they look good because they haven't started losing their summer or their winter wool yet. Here in a couple of months, they will be the scroungiest, mangiest looking critters you ever saw. But right now, they all still look like really full in their coats and they look really good. This guy walked right next to our car. And so did this guy. Yep, they were on both sides of the road and in the road, just meandering, like literally, no cares whatsoever. How cool is that? Anyway, so my trip was complete to get to see that. You could only been more completer had I seen some bears, but you know, they're probably still in bed. So, but it got me so excited. I cannot wait. Cannot wait to be able to go to the park this summer and not hunt. Did I say that? I didn't mean that in the literal sense. Search for bears and the bison. I mean, we're only like probably 2 months away, maybe a little less from them, probably 6 weeks away from them starting to calve. And their babies, they call them red dogs because they have red hair. And they are so precious and cute. And no, none of those bison look cold, and I didn't try to put any of them in the trunk of my car, in case you're wondering. Yes. I did not know. Sid said there are bison in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco that they are fenced in. Yeah, I would hope so. But that's cool. There's actually people around us that raise bison. So it's not like seeing them in the wild is like every time we go to Idaho Falls, we see bison. Because the people on the road that on the way to my sister's house actually raise white bison. And they have a whole herd. They're amazing. And every time we see them, I get excited. But I know. But I was thinking about the bears. The bears are going to be coming out of hibernation in not too long. And yay. So I've talked before about the really famous bear in Grand Teton National Forest. Her name is, they call her Felicia. Her number is 399, but she's also known as the Queen of the Tetons. Felicia's like 28 years old, which is super old for bears in captivity, or not in captivity, sorry, for bears in the wild, for grizzly bears in the wild. And Felicia's emerged last year, they said she may be done. She had had this set of quads that she had just raised, which was like record-breaking and amazing. And she had finally run them off. And a lot of the bear people said, don't expect to see Felicia to come out of her den this year. She probably won't. She's definitely at the end of her lifespan. And then not only did Felicia emerge last spring, but she emerged with a cub and blew everybody's minds. So now this year, they're like, don't expect to see Felicia. And, we don't know what'll happen with that cub. And I just hope she comes back out. Come on, Felicia. I hope she has one more year in her at least. She is quite the majestic, magnificent bear. She's the mother of quite a few of the other well-known bears in the Tetons. And I hope she comes out this year. I was just thinking about her when we saw the bison, and I was starting to get excited about all the animals in the park and all the parks around us. And yeah. So, come on, Felicia. You can do it. Oh, Jane said she's cannot tolerate jewelry for very long either. Yeah. It just, you know, I'm just, my body's uncomfortable, you know, all the time. And jewelry, I love my jewelry, but the second it starts to make me uncomfortable, it's gone. It's the same reason I only wear stretchy clothes. I'm already fighting this body. I can't fight clothes too. I can't fight jewelry too. My hair is put up or back almost all the time, except for when I'm on the air, actually, because I can't stand, I can't fight it either. My tolerance level is super low for outside factors, but for good reason, I think. Hey, Maya. Yeah. Okay, I better jump in the other chat. Totally neglecting. Oh, cool. Tiffany's got some awesome pictures that she took with her glasses up to her iPhone lens. Wow, they turned out really good. Oh, that's awesome. I love it. She took her glasses and shared them with people in a coffee shop. That's cool. Awesome. Hey, Quelly. Thank you. Same to ya. All right. Well, let's pull up Luminous. There's quite a few things in there I wanted to talk about. I'm going to put a link in both chat rooms, but if you subscribe, then you already received it. And I also wanted to point out, and I know most of you guys know this, but some of you may not, that I do also have a daily email that goes out called the Domestic Mystics Daily Dish. And the daily email is something you just subscribe for. I'm going to put a link up so you can subscribe if you don't already. But the Daily Dish is a daily energy read, usually. It just depends on what I feel compelled to share, or what I, or you know, what I feel like needs to be said. I don't know. Sometimes it's an energy read. Sometimes it's not exactly. Sometimes I think it's just kind of life advice. I don't know. But at any rate, I'm putting up a link in both chat rooms so that you can subscribe to it if you don't already, if you would like to. So you'll receive 8 emails a week from me. You'll get the Daily Dish every single day. And then, of course, you will also get Luminous once a week as well, my magazine. Sid, there's not, but that's kind of silly. You know what I'll do? I'll pull it up and add it to the show description. She was asking if there's a place where my Jade Bloom affiliate number is. I don't have that posted anywhere. That's kind of silly. But that's where I'll put it. I'll give it to you right now too, but so in case you're wondering, Jade Bloom is the essential oil company that I love the most. And I've gotten some of you guys hooked on too. And I am an affiliate for them. It's a minute, payout for me. It's not like it's a business or anything like that. Mostly I just love sharing it. But if you do want to subscribe to Jade Bloom or, you know, purchase from Jade Bloom, I do get a very small kickback from that. So I'll share a link here so that you can go check it out if you're interested. So the link that I'm sharing, if you just follow that link and set up an account, then anything that you buy, then I will be your affiliate. And again, no pressure whatsoever. I just really love Jade Bloom. Hey, fun boy. I will give readings a little bit later in the show. Yeah. There you go. So Sid, it's right there for you. But I'll put it in the show descriptions in the future too. That makes sense for me to do that. Okay, let's move on to Luminous. I'm going to share my screen here. Obviously had to do an eclipse. I did one over the Tetons. We weren't fully eclipsed. I'm just pretending. Imagine this was 2017. Okay, so I called the, I just realized I'm not even sharing on my screen. Hold on. I did call the magazine this week, the Afterglow edition, because we are in the afterglow of the eclipse and you can still benefit from it. My feeling on it right now is that we're going to experience a lot more benefit versus the anxiety that a lot of people felt leading up to the eclipse, that now we're kind of in a space where we can move forward with the drive of the eclipse, the drive to change things that we're not happy with in our world. I think we'll see a big push towards activism here in the next little while, even bigger. And I think that also it gives us a really good opportunity to just work on ourselves. If there's anything in your world you want to change, this is a really good time to invest in that. So for my musings this week, a couple of days ago, I came across a post of a friend of mine on Facebook that had posted about, it was a meme and it was geared to her fellow teachers about the eclipse, to recognize that different Native American cultures have very different beliefs and feelings about the eclipse, may not be fans of the eclipse or even want their kids to view the eclipse, and because of their spiritual beliefs. And so to be really sensitive about that, for example, so she's a teacher in Montana, an elementary teacher on or near a Crow reservation. And they have a lot of Crow kids in their school. And the Crows do not like eclipses and usually avoid eclipses. So I thought that was a really interesting point, and the cultural sensitivity of eclipses hadn't really occurred to me, but it led me to start thinking about, all right, well, interesting, and what else? What other, what do other Native American tribes and also ancient peoples, what were their beliefs on the eclipse? I mean, we have a better sense now of, or at least we think we do, you know, of the science of eclipses and why they happen and what's happening. But imagine being in the ancient world where you did not, and suddenly the sun goes black and the midday goes black for a short time. I can imagine all kinds of, you know, theories and ideas. I mean, hell, we had a bunch of earthquakes last week, of course, leading all the way up to the earthquakes on the East Coast on Friday. And it makes me laugh because even like Neil deGrasse Tyson and other scientists were tweeting about how, you know, that's just a coincidence. Eclipses don't bring earthquakes. Don't they, though? Like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist by nature, but that was a lot of earthquakes last week. A lot. There was the huge one in Taiwan. There were all of the ones in Northern California. There was the one on the East Coast, as well as the aftershocks, and probably a bunch more that I don't even know about. So, I don't know. Interesting. Really interesting. But I thought we'd go through this to some degree. So the Diné, or the Navajo, they see eclipses as having profound spiritual significance, signaling a momentary disruption in the natural order, truth. They perceive the sun and moon as sacred entities, and an eclipse represents a temporary imbalance that necessitates restoration. So historically, they had ceremonial practices that focused on purification, prayer, and introspection around an eclipse. The Hopi saw them as a celestial message, prompting individuals to reflect on their connection to the cosmos and to the principles of balance and harmony. So they had a ritual known as the soil ritual that was observed during winter solstice that shows their reverence for celestial events, symbolizes a harmonious relationship between physical and spiritual realms. And during eclipses, they would engage in communal ceremonies. Things like, I'm going to assume, drumming, dancing, sweat, things like that. The Lakota Sioux. And the Lakota eclipses are viewed as omens and opportunities for spiritual renewal. Prayer, meditation, vision seeking are all things that would be sought out during eclipses. Eclipses are perceived as moments of heightened spiritual awareness, inviting introspection and communion with the sacred forces of the universe. And then for ancient civilizations, ancient Egyptians, they would see eclipses as a cosmic battle, wouldn't they, though? They were a fighting bunch between the sun god Ra and the serpent of chaos, Apep. Rituals and offerings were performed to aid Ra in overcoming Apep during eclipses, symbolizing the triumph of order over chaos and the perpetuation of cosmic harmony. The Egyptian reverence for celestial phenomena underscored their belief in the divine order of the universe. I love that. I think that's a really interesting, of course it was a fight, it was a battle. Maybe the Greeks too. They were another fighting bunch. Ancient Greek culture regarded eclipses as portents of divine intervention and cosmic significance. Aristotle sought to understand the scientific principles behind eclipses. Yes. While mythological narratives depicted these events as manifestations of the gods' will. Well, of course, I'm sure they were looked at exactly that way, especially with so many Greek gods that were always at odds. They were associated with foreboding omens. A lot of cultures saw them that way. Or pivotal moments in history. Interesting. I think that's interesting for us. And then the Mayans. They had profound religious and calendrical significance. Mayan astronomers, wow. Let's try again. Mayan astronomers meticulously tracked lunar and solar eclipses, integrating their observations into complex calendrical systems that governed religious ceremonies, agricultural cycles, and political events. Yeah, very interesting. And as we know, the calendar was huge for the Mayans. And, they had their own calendar that I think was pretty amazing to track things like this. So, pretty interesting stuff. So, true spirit. Other cultures, it's not always perceived as a social media fad. Yeah. Liliana, I do believe that your nose will be okay. I think it's going to take a few months of rehabbing it, but I do think it's going to be okay. Yes. Said she read that Christopher Columbus used an eclipse to manipulate Jamaicans into giving food and shelter to his crew by convincing them he had the command of the sun. Oh, God. He would. Ugh. Okay. All right, Kelly, her Re Feminist History blog this week and podcast is called Comedy is Group Therapy, and she was focusing on Wanda Sykes. My God. Do you guys listen to Wanda Sykes? She is so damn funny. I absolutely love her. Her voice is so significant that you can't miss it. So, a few years ago, as you know, my sisters and I used to own a store, a metaphysical store and healing center, and then we sold it about 6, 7 years ago now. And when we sold it to our dear friend Terry, and some of you guys know Terry. And Terry had this call on the phone from someone who said that they wanted a reading, only the person on the phone's voice was so pronounced to her that she knew exactly who she was talking to. And so she played along. And they had this hilarious conversation. And as it turned out, it was Cranky Anchors that was calling, and the person calling was Wanda Sykes. Can you believe that? Yeah. And she knew the minute she got on the phone, she's like, yeah, someone's messing with me, and I know exactly who this person is. And they had an absolutely hysterical conversation. It actually made its way onto Jimmy Fallon. So, Terry's kind of famous. Thanks for that. Yeah, Cranky Anchors. And good luck messing with a psychic because it didn't work out. All right. My tip this week is about lifestyle changes for reducing anxiety. Because, again, sure, talking to a lot of you guys that are having a lot of anxiety. I was having the anxieties this morning. My God. We're getting fiber internet on our street. And they ran the lines like from my house to the road this morning. You guys, my dogs bark themselves hoarse. They barked until I just didn't even know what to do with myself. I tried locking them in my office with me so they couldn't see out the window. And all they did was bark at the door and scratch at the door and freak out. I tried putting some of them in bed with Scott. That only worked for a few minutes till they were all barking again and they had to get back up. Every time they'd walk past the front door, my Ring doorbell would go off on my phone, making the noise, you know? And my dogs again would lose their minds. Oh my God. I didn't know if I was going to survive it. If I didn't have the show, I would have probably loaded them up in the car. And just left just to shut them up. But no option there though, because I had to be here. So, anyway, my God. Yes, my nerves were shot. Luckily, they're done. It's over. We won't have to deal with it again, I hope. Hopefully everything's done. But good Lord. Now, of course, my dogs are all super proud of themselves because they were protecting their mom. All right, well, let's get into it. Adopt healthy eating habits. Adopting healthy eating habits helps to reduce anxiety as well as lift mood and improve overall physical health. This one, I think, is a really important one because you may discover that certain foods trigger some anxiety in you. I mean, obviously, caffeine can be a major culprit. For me, I don't do caffeine after 6 p.m. If I do, I won't go to bed. And that's only been the last couple of years. When I was younger, I could drink caffeine anytime. It didn't matter. But now, the older I get, that's a hard no. So, but, you know, too much caffeine can also trigger a lot of anxiety in people that may not realize it. There's been such a normalization of energy drinks the last few years. Everywhere you look, people are drinking energy drinks. And I'm not here to lecture you. You do you. Just realize the amount of creatine and caffeine that you are dumping into your system might be a lot more than you realize. And might be the cause of your anxiety a lot more than you understand as well. So, you know, if you're an energy drink drinker, just bear that in mind, that you do want to be at least somewhat mindful of that, because it could be the thing that's triggering anxiety for you. But some people have different sensitivities, you know, various foods that could cause some kind of anxiety for them. And it's important to know that about yourself. Some people just eating too much sugar in general will trigger some anxiety. So know yourself. And if you are really struggling with anxiety, you might play a little bit with your diet and see if you can help narrow anything down or see if there is anything there. Give importance to sleep. While sleeping, your body works to support a healthy brain function and maintain your physical and mental health. I have said this on the show till I'm blue in the face, but I will say it yet again. If you are not sleeping, figure it out. It's worth it. Go to the doctor. Go to the naturopath. Go to the chiropractor. Have a sleep study. Whatever. Try some things, but figure it out. And it could be a phase or a stage in your life. A lot of women sleep fine until they go into perimenopause, and now suddenly they have insomnia. Okay? Work it out. Some people are completely fine until they have a surgery and it really throws off their body's natural tendencies, and then they aren't sleeping anymore. Whatever it is. And sometimes it's just anxiety keeping you up and keeping your brain from going to sleep. But the thing is, that sleep is imperative to your physical and mental well-being. Imperative. Years ago, I was co-directing a childcare facility with my sister-in-law, Rhonda. So we were a therapeutic center as well as just a regular daycare. So she is a therapist, and she was running the therapeutic side. I was running the daycare side. And, I mean, we had a lot of kids. We had a lot of staff, too, but we had about 60 kids. And one day the owner came in at nap time. It was right after lunch. We had done story hour and everyone was laid out on their mats and the lights were turned low and the kids were sleeping, because that's what you do at a childcare center. And he called us into a meeting with disgust and wanted to know why we were wasting these children's day by letting them sleep and why we weren't keeping them up to do therapeutic activities. And we spoke to an hour to this man about why kids have to sleep and why that is therapeutic. And this was news to him. News to him. He had no idea that kids sleeping would be considered therapy to them. Okay, Well, we were stunned, but honestly, the more I've thought about that over the years, the more I've realized that a lot of people don't understand how therapeutic sleep is. Doctors don't always understand how therapeutic sleep is. This man was a master's level counselor who did not understand how therapeutic sleep was. So I'll hop off my soapbox now, but I'm just putting that out there. If you have to take something to help you sleep, yeah, he did have children, Jessica. He was a moron. He just was. Ugh. But yeah, he did have kids. And a wife who I can only presume hated him. But if you're not sleeping, get help sleeping. If you need to take something to sleep, take something to sleep. That's not a failure. That's self-care. Get sleep. All right, exercise daily. That does not mean you have to run on the treadmill. It does not mean that you have to knock yourself out. It means that you need to move your body. It means that whether you wander around Walmart or you walk around your yard or you dance in the living room with your cat, move your body. It's important. Energetically, emotionally, physically, your body needs some motion. Even if you just sit on the floor and stretch for a little while, do something. Yeah. Pamela said, I have sleep issues due to ADHD and other issues. Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. I sleep with a CPAP and oxygen. And getting on the sleep, ha the having a sleep study and learning that I had two different kinds of sleep disorders has changed a lot for me. I sleep so much better and I wake up in so much less pain than I used to. It's just mind-boggling. So I highly recommend a sleep study. Even if it's not for apnea, even if they don't decide you have apnea, but you could have a different kind of sleep situation going on as well. Up to what age is it recommended kids be napping during school hours? The current info. I don't know, Sid. I'm not sure. I know in early childhood, I don't know if there was ever a really set number. I mean, every kid is different. The theory in early childhood is that we try to get everyone to sleep or at least quiet on their mat for at least an hour. And then as some kids start waking up, we have quiet activities for them to do while the rest of the kids finish sleeping. We did not, we ha I've always had a policy in early childhood that I won't wake a kid up unless they have slept for like 3 hours, then. But I used to have daycare parents that would try that with me. Don't let him sleep or he won't sleep tonight. Oh, bro, no. When your 2-year-old is screaming and bawling and exhausted, at 1:30 p.m., he's definitely taking a nap here. Because for one thing, I can't do that to all the other kids, but for another, he needs it. Yeah. It's a big thing in early childhood. But I would say honestly, a couple of hours in the afternoon, up to school age, kindergartners should still nap. By the time you get to first graders, they don't. Kindergartners should still nap if they're in an all-day program. They should have a quiet time on a mat for at least an hour. If they are only a half-day kindergarten, they should come home and nap. Yeah. If your kid is in an half day kindergarten, I highly recommend mornings so that they have the afternoon to nap and rest and replenish because they'll play all morning, then they'll go to school all afternoon, and then they are whipped. They're so tired. So I think morning kindergarten is called for, but my opinion. Sherry said, I don't want to go to bed and then I don't want to get up. Hear that. A meditation routine. Meditation is huge for anxiety. It's huge for intuition. And people that are anxious sometimes feel like they can't meditate because their brain just isn't going to slow the hell down. Keep trying different kinds of meditations. Try guided meditation. Try mala meditation or mantra meditation. Try a moving meditation like yoga or tai chi. Try various things. Yeah. Yeah. Pamela wants 4 snaps at work. Should happen. Quelly said, also when they're napping, you need it as a caretaker for sure. You need the downtime so bad. Well, and if you have infants in your center, you definitely need that time because you need some time to dedicate fully to them. You also need it to do the dishes after lunch and maybe do the billing and order the food. And yeah, there's a lot of things. I don't miss early childhood, I'll be honest. I loved the years I had in early childhood. I would never go back. Maybe I'm just too old and tired, but I would never go back. Regularly express emotions. Journal, speak, confide. At least express to yourself in some way your emotions and to others. Be willing. Be willing to speak your truth. Be willing to defend yourself if necessary. Also, be willing to share your wisdom. This is an interesting one, I think, with a lot of people, a lot of empaths. You guys are, people are drawn to you, you know? People will tell you things about themselves that are kind of amazing, shocking, surprising that they would say, maybe. And I think that a lot of that is you feel safe to them. But I know a lot of empaths that don't really trust their own voice enough to actually offer any kind of advice or encouragement. And I think that should change. I think that you have more wisdom than you're willing to admit. I think that you are more capable of sharing that wisdom than you maybe sometimes are able to do. But I think that being able to express emotions and have intimate conversations with people is a gift that a lot of empaths have or should have that maybe just needs a little bit more work. Quelly's 51 and has to come home and nap after being at the high school all day. I hear you. Yes. High schoolers, though, man. Their energy is a tornado or a hurricane, maybe a hurricane or an earthquake. Maybe all of those things wrapped up into one. And yet they're some of the most enjoyable people in the world to be around, too. But, whew. Simplify your life. Dealing with anxiety is challenging and overwhelming, but often we make our life more complicated than it needs to be, which makes anxiety worse. Yeah, we're all famous for that in one way or another, aren't we? But, yeah, simplifying your life. I'm amazed at how often I'll put up with something for a while for some reason and then suddenly realize, I hate this. This is not making me happy. Why am I doing this, allowing this, participating in this? And then when I change that thing, I feel quite a lot better. But I think we're all, especially as empaths, we're willing to put up with a lot, you know? So you definitely need to be careful about that. Pamela said chanting helps. Yes, chanting is a great one for meditation. So is drumming. You know, I've showed you guys my drums before, but just drumming. You don't have to drum to any specific anything. Just pounding your drum is a moving meditation all in itself that is amazingly grounding, clearing, centering, and calming. I used to have a client that was a first grade teacher who had, when I met her, she was having a particularly hard year. She had something like 14 kids that were on behavior plans, most of them because they were ADD, ADHD boys that, you know, were having a hard time slowing down, settling down, being quiet, you know, learning. And so we had talked about the possibility of drumming in her classroom. So she got a drum, like a buffalo drum, and just started playing it in her classroom. Like, she'd just, you know, drum for a couple of minutes after coming back from in transition time, like coming back from recess or coming back from lunch or times like that where it's sometimes really hard for some of these kids to transition from one task to the next. And then she started just using it sometimes in games. When kids were taking tests, she'd just walk up and down the aisles, just quietly drumming. And she said that the change in those kids was so profound and made such a difference that she was just blown away. Some of the other teachers in her school started drumming too because it had worked so beautifully for her. And some of the parents ordered drums to take home to use because their kids were doing so well with having drumming. Drumming is amazing. Said, I think that is an amazing point. She said, it's spooky that the industries the furthest from humanity, like tech, believes in naps. Yeah. Yet ER doctors are expected to function 100% sleep deprived plus stressed out. Yeah. And nurses as well. Yeah. I've always thought that is crazy, Sid, that we have doctors that are working like 24-hour shifts and getting like no freaking sleep. And we expect so much out of them. We're literally put our health and our lives in the palm of their hands. That's crazy talk. I agree entirely. Hey, JR. Jessica said, crocheting is a form of meditation for me. Yes, and thanks for saying that. A lot of creative endeavors can be a moving meditation of sorts. Absolutely. Me too. Not crocheting. Gosh, no. My hands wouldn't do it, but I'm glad you do. Just looking in the chat. Hi, Marina and Karen and Denise. Yeah. Tiffany said, I'm 50 years old and I still remember nap time in kindergarten. Hell yeah. Because you had a nap and then you had a snack. And that's how it was, Jack. Okay. All right, Christy brings us her energy exercise this week. It's clear your bubble. This is a great one if you just need to clear everybody's energy out of your space. You can do it every day. Obviously, there's lots of true crime going on. Chad Daybell's trial starts in earnest tomorrow. Last week, we covered the entire week of jury selection, but tomorrow is the day, the big day, when we see opening arguments tomorrow. So it's going to be an interesting next 9 or so weeks. That's for sure. Even jury selection was Chad's attorney just doesn't know when to shut up, when it would be better for him than the ridiculous amount of talking that he does. But who am I? Okay. Anita brings us St. Maria Faustina Kowalska. She was a Polish nun that lived in the 30s, and she was canonized in 2000, becoming the first Catholic saint of the millennium in April. So we brought her up in April. But very interesting stuff about St. Maria, so you can check that out. Jamie's got an energy... Not an energy. She's got a... This is an interesting video. It's only 9 minutes long, so it's not crazy long. But it's to find the energy to take a risk. I thought that was interesting. A lot of us, you know, we sit very comfy in our bubbles and don't take risks because... And yet, sometimes you need to. Of course, there's lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation that will help you with your meditation goals, I hope. And that's it. That is Luminous this week. So I hope you found some gems in there that helped you out. Yeah. Spirit says, drumming was used in African cultures because they knew it alternated both brain parts and the vibration is healing. Yeah. Yes. Drumming has been in every culture since time immemorial, essentially. For various and similar reasons, I think. And I just resonate with drumming at a soul level. I think a kind of a feral level, you know. Sometimes if I'm trying to empower somebody, I'll just envision myself standing near them, drumming. There's something about the frequency of it. Years ago, I was with a group of people that was asked to drum at it was a museum opening. It was a museum opening for prehistoric artifacts. They had a woolly mammoth, various things like that. And so the woman that was in charge of at that museum that was in charge of the donor events. So she was the one that put on the meet and greets, the schmooze, the donors kinds of things, like inviting the wealthy people in to see the exhibit first and share in that and whatnot, right? So she had hired the drumming group to come in and drum. And she knew what kind of drumming they did. She'd been to our group a few times. And so I had gone with that group for fun. And you know how I've told you before that drumming kind of triggers a fight or flight in people? And some people, when they first start hearing drumming like that, they'll feel like they need to run from it. So we were just standing in one corner, just doing drumming. And, you know, that's literally just buffalo drums or medicine drums that you're just pounding to the same beat, which we were mostly just doing a heartbeat. This guy runs over to us, grabs one of our people by both arms, and screams in their face to stop it, stop it, stop it. And we were like, whoa. And he said, I can't stand listening to this. What did they pay you to be here? We're like, I don't know. We did know, but like, really? He whips out his wallet and says, I will give you $100 to leave right now. And we were like, no, thank you. You know, because we were paid to be there. It was just a weird experience, and I was so offended and irritated at him at the time. But over time, I realized we were triggering something in him. That was triggering a fight or flight in him, and he was ready to fight and pay to make us leave. That's a big museum. He could have gone far from us. He didn't have to be near us in any way. He could have been far away enough from us, he wouldn't have even probably heard us. But he didn't want to do that. He wanted to be where he was, but he wanted us to stop. But I think that we triggered some fight or flight in him. Interesting. And he didn't know. He just knew that whatever we were doing was making him incredibly uncomfortable. Yeah. Sid said, I asked about the whole MD resident sleep thing. It's an old boys club deal that everyone has to suffer through it. Totally put me off on going into medicine. Yeah. And you know what that kind of sleep deprivation causes in people? Besides the fact that you're much more likely to make a mental error, it triggers a lot of depression. And I read a study not too long ago that said that they believed that the correlation between suicides in doctors and sleep deprivation went hand in hand. Yeah. Very uncool. Okay, I wanted to make sure that I got to this question. It was asked early in the show, but let me see if I can get back to it. This was Funboy. Funboy, I don't know if you're still here, but they had said, can you tell me how my cat that died is doing? Is she mad at me? Her name was Gray. I didn't want to neglect you on that. Let's tune into Gray. Gray is right by your side. Gray hasn't gone anywhere. Very much not mad at you. No, you have a soul connection to this cat. They're not going anywhere. There's a feral energy about this cat that feels like a hunter or a huntress. Yeah, this cat's not going anywhere. I would imagine that you'll be having dreams about Gray because she's around you all the time. Yeah. But I'm sorry for your loss. All right, just checking the other side of the chat room here. We're just about out of here. It goes so fast, doesn't it? Hey, Joni. Joni said, still without a job. I've been mildly active in looking, got motivated to sign up for a seminar. I did it. I'm hopeful I'll be able to generate income with it. Joni, I feel like that is a yes. I'm glad you did it. I do think that you'll be able to generate some income with it. I would still keep looking for a full-time job. This will not be that. But I do feel like there's some potential there for income, yes. Okay. And if you have another form of income, I feel like you'll be more successful with it because you won't be so pressed. Because it's really hard to make money when you are under the gun. Marina said caffeine, even decaf after 11 a.m. is pushing it. Good to know yourself. Yeah. Let's see. Marina asked for a card. This will probably be all we have time for. Let's do that. Oof. Okay. All right, Marina. The card I pulled you is Shadow. I think that's interesting coming off of the eclipse, especially, but the Shadow card typically is pulling the curtain back on parts of your personality that you might be sometimes afraid of, that maybe were shut down when you were little. I see that a lot in people, that it's not a bad part of your personality at all. It's just something that other people didn't like in you when you were little and they wanted to control you. And so they shut down the bossiness or the, more adventurous side or the tenaciousness. Right now, with you kind of oscillating from one job to the next, I think it's important to let that shadow part of you out, especially because I think that there's some anger in you regarding the former job that probably needs to get out of you and recognize the dysfunction that was going on there versus the way this did or didn't reflect on you. It was a dysfunctional, screwed up place for a long time, and you did your best there, but the truth is, they were still dysfunctional and messed up. But I think it's anger that I see in that shadow that needs to come on out of you. So maybe you're the one that needs to pound a drum or throw some rocks, but do something that lets that out of you. Spirit, yes, I will. She would like me to reach out to her late adoptive father. We're going to run out of time, Spirit, but I will do that for you. Pamela has to have surgery. She said she thinks she will ask the surgeon if they've had adequate sleep. Yeah, no kidding, huh? Well, you guys, we have done it. We have talked down to the end of the show. I want to thank you all so much for being here. I want to remind you that I am a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com. That's number one, number 2listen.com. You can find me over there every single day doing readings, healings, animal communication, mediumship. You know the deal. So come find me over there if I can do anything for you. Otherwise, I'll be back here next week, same place, same time. Thanks for being here, guys. You've been listening to The Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.